Welcome everyone to evening prayer for this Wednesday evening. Most Wednesdays in this new format, we're going to be taking communion together. So now is the time, right after you've pressed play, to pause the podcast and to go and grab a piece of bread or a cracker, something to eat for each person taking part, and a sip of water or juice or coffee or wine or something to drink as well, and then come back to join me. Parents, again tonight, we leave it up to you as to whether you would like your children to take part in communion. E te whānau, my brothers and sisters in Christ, our help is in the name of the eternal God who is making the heavens and the earth. Eternal Spirit, flow through our being, open our lips that our mouths may proclaim your praise, and let us worship the God who loves us. Amen. Our reading tonight comes from Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They'd come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." I was really pleased to see this passage falling as the reading for tonight with my name next to it. Holds a little bit of a special place in my heart because it really came alive for me for the first time when I heard my wife Alyssa preaching from it. We weren't even dating at the time. She'd come back from a half-year stint serving in Kolkata and India and ended up being invited to preach at Easter camp in a couple of local churches, and this passage kind of formed the basis of those messages. And it's probably been, I don't know, 13 or 14 years or so since I heard her preach on this, but I'm pretty sure that her points on this remarkable scene were simply this: that the men carry the man, and then that they carry the man to Jesus. It's a really dramatic picture, isn't it? Jesus is in this house and he's surrounded by religious elite and people packed in tightly around in such a way that it's pretty much impossible to gain access to him. And here come these men carrying this man in this kind of physically and metaphorically rich picture. They're bearing him up, they're with him on this journey, and they're committed to helping him get where he needs to be. Can you imagine the people kind of watching on as these men show up looking for an opening, and then just when no opening is found, taking him up onto the roof of the house, and then they just kind of start digging through the roof, breaking into the room below? I mean, can you imagine the people screaming at them, the poor house owner on the phone with the insurance and the police? I mean, here is this image of dedication and commitment to, as much as possible, join in the space of the paralyzed man, to identify with him, to endure what is necessary alongside him, which is surely what Christian love looks like. And then we were reminded also that the men carry the man not without hope, because they also carry him to Jesus. They carry him with strong hearts. They dig through the roof with determination, because Jesus is the destination at the end of that journey. And Jesus is going to bring healing, but not at first where it is expected. The man is lowered through the roof to Jesus's feet, and when Jesus sees the faith of the men, the text says he speaks to that which is necessary more than the restoration, which seems to be the obvious point of the story. Jesus speaks to the heart. "Your sins are forgiven," he says, which of course sets off a massive ruckus in the room, because who apart from God has the authority to say something like that? But then Jesus proves that he does, if you kept on reading the passage, by healing this man as well. In that season after living and serving in Kolkata, Alyssa had the root Latin definition of compassion up on the wall by her bed. Compassion comes from this Latin word compassio, which means to suffer with. To have compassion is literally to enter into the reality of another person, to join them in what they're going through. That's what these men do as they carry this man along with them. But the men are not only carrying the man, they are carrying the man to Jesus. Scripture talks about Jesus at one stage looking out at the people and having compassion on them, that he enters into their suffering. Ultimately, that's the way of the cross, isn't it? Jesus joins us where we are, but he's not only the one who joins us, he's also the one who delivers us, because there's resurrection hope there too. He is in the restoration business. He is making us new from the inside out. And through this Jesus, we are reminded of the way of the church, aren't we? To enter into this loved creation and to carry it with us towards Jesus in the fulfillment of that gospel hope. And so we come to communion again tonight, and we are reminded that Jesus enters into our reality, that he draws alongside us wherever we are this evening, and whatever condition we are in, here Jesus is present, and with him is resurrection power and hope. When we take communion together tonight, we are identifying both our need for him, but also recommitting once again to joining him in that good news, that gospel calling, asking for it to be true for us and true through us as well. And so, O Lord, tonight we acknowledge our frailty once again and our need for you. Thank you that no matter where we find ourselves this night, you have entered into our reality, that your work among us is for our restoration and our hope. Lord, tonight in this space, we ask you to remind us once again of your loving presence. We'd ask you to reveal within us those areas of our lives that are in need of your healing. You look to our hearts. All is laid bare before you. And so as we sit in silence at your feet here once again, show us those ways in us that are not your ways, those thoughts that are not your thoughts, those actions and ways of life that are not befitting of followers of you. Reveal our sin to us in this space. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness once again. Thank you that it is freely available to us, for your grace and your love and your goodness. And renew in us again this night our calling to be people who carry our world to you. May our eating and our drinking tonight be the sustenance that we will need in joining you along the way. And so we hear again those familiar words that Paul writes to the church in Corinth. The Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so let us eat together now. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, let us drink together now. We have ate and drank, certain in the presence of the risen Christ, certain of his power over every affliction of body, heart, and mind, certain of the forgiveness that only he can offer, and certain that he is leading us forward into the power and the calling of the resurrection life. And so now, as we come to the end of our prayer time, we pray for all of those we love, for our church family, for ourselves, using the words that Jesus gave us. And please join in using whatever version it is that you know. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Well, it's been really special to share in this space again with you tonight, halfway through another week. May you rest tonight, certain in the presence and the love of God. And I look forward to praying alongside you again tomorrow. Good night.